have a seat. I told you we'll be doing a lot of back and forth. I just want to remind you tonight, this is kind of off the wall, but very fitting at the same time because it's the heart of our church. Tonight we're going to be having this training for everyone that's going to be involved with the block parties, the parties within the subdivisions and stuff, the nightlights, as we call them, and that'll be at 6 tonight. So if you can come at 6 tonight, we'll have a good time, be very relaxed, just hang out for a little while, and we'll talk about those and talk about kind of the plan with that and what's going down with that. So be here at 6 for that. That'll be good. This morning, and honestly, just kind of on the heels of the series that we just finished called Certain, you know, it was just one of those things that every couple of months we try to do the Lord's Supper. And a lot of people say, well, why don't you do it every week? And the reason we don't do it every week is because I have been, and I'm not knocking this if you're from a church that does it or whatever. But in doing that so many times, it just seems like it's so easy for that to become a, this is what we do at this time of the service. And, you know, you just do it because that's what you're supposed to do. Well, one of the things that we've tried is we've tried doing it all different times. We've done it a couple weeks in a row. We've done it every month. We've done it once a quarter. And now we've kind of decided, you know, every couple months is really good. But a couple times a year, when we do it in such a way that it just drives home and really reinforces what it's about and why we take the Lord's Supper. And this morning we'll be taking the Lord's Supper later in the service. But before then, I want us just to prepare our hearts for that. And that's one of the biggest things. If we can get some air, he's working on it. See people fanning. I'm with you. I'll sweat more than you will, I promise. But the thing with Lord's Supper is to remember the purpose behind it and the reasoning and doing it to begin with. And it's one of those things that we know, but a lot of times we're just, and I'm throwing myself out there, you know, we can be guilty of doing something like that just because that's what we're doing at the moment. It's just what's supposed to happen right now, so we do it. And, you know, I want us just to look at some scripture this morning. I'll be honest with you, I'm not really preaching much today. We're spending time today in worship. We're spending time today in a little bit of silence. We're spending time today in prayer. Most importantly, probably, we're spending time in reading God's Word together. You say, well, Chris, that's preaching, and in some way it is, but I'm not giving as much usual commentary and stupid stories, I guess. But, you know, this morning, I want us just to kind of start, and I want us to just focus in on what happened at the Lord's Supper, at the very first time when Jesus sat down with his disciples, and when we see what is known as the Last Supper, what went down? And I want us to read this in Matthew 26. It says in verse 26, it says, while they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. After singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Let's just kind of put ourselves in that place right now for a moment. I want you just to think about, just think about what it must have been like to have been Christ and to be sitting at the table, knowing that at any given moment, this guy is going to betray me. One of his followers, one of his 12 that had been with him for so long was about to just turn him over to the authorities to be killed for a little thing of money. When we think about this situation, when we think about Christ and what he's trying to communicate to these guys and what he's communicating to us through this scripture is that this is his body. This is his blood. This is symbolic. And that's what the Lord's Supper is. We have the bread, we have the juice or the wine or whatever. And you know, when we look at these things, when we look at these are elements that we have to remind us that this is all about remembering the sacrifice that Christ made, that his body and his blood. If you look at verse 27 again, it says, when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them saying, drink from it all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. And You know, the whole covenant thing, I think, is important for us to make note of, because in the Old Testament we have what was known as the covenant. And basically when Jesus is coming in and he's talking about this, and he's talking about there being a new covenant, he's not talking about necessarily a replacement for the old covenant, but he's talking about something that is a continuing, an updated version, if you will. Because in the old covenant, you know, people couldn't be forgiven of their sins without what? Making sacrifices and praying and having trust and faith in God. And truth be known, their sin was still being forgiven through the blood of Christ, which hadn't even happened yet. They didn't fully understand that, but that's what was going on, and we see that in the book of Romans. What Jesus is saying is he's telling these guys, look, this is the new covenant. The blood that is about to be shed on the cross is going to be the new covenant, and it is going to be under that in which you will be forgiven for your sin. Now, you know, cool enough that the moment that this was celebrated within the church and was seen to have been happening was that this was Passover. You know, a lot of people have heard the word Passover. You're like, oh yeah, I've heard it. It's a church word. It's in the Old Testament a whole lot. Passover, Passover, Passover. What's it mean? Here's what it means. Passover was a celebration of when Christians got out of slavery in Egypt. It was a celebration to get out of slavery. The great thing is this is kind of the replacement and the new covenant and the Lord's Supper and all of that is all just basically a replacement. Not necessarily to replace the getting out of Egypt, but the replacement of getting out and being forgiven of sin. And that's just so awesome for us to get to think about this morning. Because truth be known, before we know Christ, we are slaves to sin. And so this morning we get to celebrate what it means to be able to be forgiven of that sin and to remember the death of Jesus Christ. Now this morning we're going to be doing some stuff together. We're going to spend a little time praying together and whatnot and reading more scripture. And as we do that, I just want to ask you to do this one thing for me. In fact, don't do it for me, do it for you. Do it for God. I want to ask that your heart would be open to letting Him speak to you and showing you where He's wanting you to go and showing you how He's wanting you to change your life. We're going to be doing some self-examination. We're going to be judging ourselves on our own this morning. Our hearts have to be ready for that. They have to be right for that. And so I'd ask that let's just take just a second to pray together, and let's ask God to just kind of clean up our hearts for a moment so that we can be ready for what He has for us. God, we thank You so much for allowing us to get to read Your Word and to study what it is that You want us to know. Lord, it is Your Word. And God, You do speak through it to us and to our hearts. And God, I just pray this morning, Lord, that You would just show us things about ourselves that maybe we've been unwilling to see, things that we've been unwilling to change. God, give us everything that we need to overcome those things. Lord, we need You to do that. And so, Father, I just pray this morning, God, that we would be faithful to You. And this morning, God, I just pray, Lord, it's hot in here, and we've got 1 million things going on in our lives right now, and our minds are running 1 million miles a minute. But, God, I just pray, Lord, that we would just stop in our tracks and spend time with You. God, You are the Almighty God. You're it. You're the King of the universe, of heaven and of earth. God, You are all powerful, and we have a lifeline to You right now, this morning, to spend time with You and to call upon You, a lifeline bigger than that of any politician or anybody famous. God, we've got You. You are it. And God, I pray, Lord, that we would take it and that we would use it this morning. God, help us to overcome ourselves so that we can spend time with You and, most importantly, give You glory. Make You famous. We love You and we thank You for this time we have together. In Your name I pray. We have in the book of 1 Corinthians where Paul is writing to the church at Corinth about what it means to take the Lord's Supper. and to how to do so properly. And he gives us some very clear instruction, and he gives us some reminders. And I want to read this passage. It's out of chapter 11, verse 23. And it says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'The cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" You know, right there we have this reminder that Paul is just being very clear, and he's reiterating the words of Christ, where he's quoting Christ, and basically he's just saying, look, we cannot forget that we do this in remembrance of the sacrifice that was made on the cross, that there is a new covenant, that it is through the blood of Christ that we are forgiven of our sin. He goes on and says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. But if we judged ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord, so that we will not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If one is hungry, let him eat at home, so that you will not come together for judgment. The remaining matters I will arrange when I come." Two major things are going on. Three major, counting the fact that we're supposed to remember what this is for. Secondly, we are supposed to examine ourselves. Let me ask you a question. Where are you at with your relationship with the Lord right now? Do you have some sin in your life? Better yet, do you have something between you and somebody else? Are you bitter with someone right now? Are you angry at them? Are you mad at them? Are you harboring something against them? Paul's being very clear that we must examine ourselves, and that our hearts must be right before we do this. That if we do this without doing so, we are judging. We are going to basically ask for judgment on ourselves, but not from ourselves, from God. We're to examine ourselves. Our hearts are to be right. And this morning, that may mean for you that you need to confess a sin. You may need to go to someone today and say, "I'm sorry. I've been bitter toward you." They may not even know, but it's in your heart, and it's keeping you from getting closer to God. Furthermore, this passage, he's talking about, you know, if you're hungry, this is not the potluck dinner. This is not the fellowship banquet thing here. Now, there's a place for that in church, and we need fellowship, and Lord knows we need food. We're all about that. But that's not what this is. In fact, he says, you know, if this is about being hungry, then you're at the wrong spot. You're in the wrong place, because this is to do in remembrance of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the sacrifice he made. If you're hungry, go home and eat at home. And then when your heart is right, do this. Furthermore, to go on with that, this is something for believers. This is something for people that know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And you may be sitting here today, and you may not know Christ as your Savior. You may could say this morning, "No, Chris, I've grown up in church, but I've never prayed and asked Christ to become my Savior." Or you may say, "Chris, I've never been to church, and I've never really, you know, I've just started coming to church or whatever. I'm just trying to figure this out." I encourage you this morning, if that's where you are, to seek God out. I'm praying that he will seek you out and that he's speaking your heart this morning. I'm praying that he will speak to your heart in such a way that you won't be able to leave this morning without talking to someone about what it means to know Christ your Savior. We'd love to talk with you about that, pray with you about that, answer questions that you may have about that. But that's between you and the Lord. And so when we do take this morning, we're inviting everyone that knows Christ as their Savior to take part with us. Most importantly, I think the thing that we can do right in this moment is to examine our hearts. Now, I want to ask you just to do something. I want to ask you, if you would, just to bow your head and just kind of hang with me for just a minute. And I want you just to take a moment, and I want you just to examine your heart. And I want you to be honest with yourself about where you are in your relationship with the Lord. Examine your heart for a moment. Is there sin that you need to confess to God and repent for? Do that now. Tell God you're sorry about that thing. If there's someone that you're bitter toward, you need to confess that to God. Then you need to go confess it to them. Truthfully, you need to confess it to them before you even take the Lord's Supper this morning. Don't let sin overcome you. Let God overcome it. Don't let somebody letting you down overcome you. Let God overcome it. I know it's a little warm. It's going to continue to be that way, from my understanding, what I was just told. And because of the heat, that thing quit. And that thing quit in the kids' church earlier this morning. So now we're out two, not one. So we'll pray about that. Either way, we're still meeting together, and we're still going to give God glory. Amen?
Amen.
I want to read the crucifixion of Christ. I feel like, you know, obviously Scripture shows us that we should examine our hearts and that we should be ready, and we've been doing that. And then, you know, those haunting words, "Do this in remembrance of me." Jesus saying those words to us, for us to be actively pursuing, remembering what we are doing this for, why we would take the Lord's Supper. And you know, I thought about this, and I just thought, you know what? I can't say it any better than I can read it. And so in just a moment, I'm going to read through the crucifixion of Christ. And then when I get done with that, I'm going to pray. And our response to that this morning is the Lord's Supper. And I'm inviting you to respond to the Lord's Supper this morning as soon as I get done praying. Let me read Matthew chapter 27, verse 27. It says this, it says, "Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole Roman cohort around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him." Let me ask you to do something, if you don't mind. Just close your eyes and just listen to this. "They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And after twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And they knelt down before him and mocked him, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews.' They spat on him and took the reed and began to beat him on the head. After they had mocked him, they took the scarlet robe off him and put on his own garments back on him and led him away to crucify him. As they were coming out, they found a man of Cyrene named Simon, whom they pressed into service to bear his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they gave him wine to drink mixed with gall. And after tasting it, he was unwilling to drink. And when they had crucified him, they divided up his garments among themselves by casting lots. And sitting down, they began to keep watch over him there. And over his head, they put up the charge against him, which read, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. At that time, two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And those passing by were hurling abuse at him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and elders, were mocking him and saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him down from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now. If he delights in him, for he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" The robbers who had been crucified with him were also insulting him in the same words. Now from the sixth hour, darkness fell upon all the land until the ninth hour. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of those who were standing there, when they heard it, began saying, "This man is calling for Elijah." Immediately, one of them ran, and taking a sponge, he filled it with sour wine and put it on a reed and gave him a drink. But the rest of them said, "Let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs were open, and many bodies of many saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now the centurion and those who were with him keeping guard over Jesus, when they saw the earthquake and the things that were happening, became very frightened and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." God, it is through your saving grace that we get to know you and have a relationship with you. God, I pray, Lord, that if there is one person here this morning, God, that doesn't know you, God, I pray, Lord, that they would take a step of faith today to come to know you, to cry out, "God, be my Lord and Savior. Take my life and lead me, Lord. Exchange for me this life for a new one." God, I just pray, Lord, that this morning that we would do this in remembrance of what you have done for us. And that, God, we wouldn't just remember you in this place, but that as we go, God, that we would be Simon from Cyrene, Lord, and that we would carry your cross. God, may we carry your cross. In your name I pray.